The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Friday, the 10th of September, 2021. There are 6 days till election. That means it's voting time. It's voting time. And look how quickly the time has passed away from us. So even though, well, today is typically our Culture Friday show, but I'm going to infuse some politics into today's show because yesterday, we gave you all Bahamian culture. Now, when I say infuse some politics into it, what I mean is I want to give people an opportunity to share what's on their mind, especially after yesterday's events. I want people to share who participated in the advance poll, who observed the advance poll, who was at the advance poll to assist family members, elderly family members, disabled or differently abled family members. I'd love for you to call in and share what some of the best practices were and ideas, strategies, policies that can be used at other polling stations for the big show, for GE 2021. Your biggest issues and concerns with what you saw taking place out there, and how we can improve on those issues for September 16th. What can NGOs and civil societies do to improve the process? It's a whole bunch of stuff we'll talk about today. I want to, if you want, continue yesterday's conversation. I have our bonus round question. What is your favorite Bahamian song? And what song best describes the Bahamas? And today you could talk political songs. We're open to that. There's a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. I have just a brief message before I get to my callers about the Employment Incentive Program. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's employment incentive program and can receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees? Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. Again, that is atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. The offer is valid until December 31st, 2021, and this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Caller, let the producer know if you could give me 1 second. I have a quick message from one of the listeners from yesterday's show, Mr. Watson from Rotary and from the International Cultural Fest, drove all the way to the station to make sure that us young people in the station got some very valuable information that would, and it certainly did, inform the conversation. So when we were making the comparison or the choice between Johnny Cake and Guava Duff, one of the participants, Mr. Stephen Hanna, indicated that he thought that, like, Johnny Cake, you can't eat it alone. You have to eat it with something like a stew or a boil or a sauce. And Mr. Watson came to the station to remind us that Johnny Cake is really Journey Cake. And Johnny Cake or Journey Cake was made for long travel. So it's a durable bread. It's a hard bread. It's bread with a long shelf life. And so it's not necessarily intended to eat with something else. You could definitely eat it on its own. Now, you may want some water or some tea. A little broth, a little soup will definitely help you moisten it up after a couple of weeks or maybe even a couple of months out of the oven, right? Out of the baker. But Johnny Cake, a.k.a. Journey Cake, is a cake or a bread that's made to last in its original iterations. And so Mr. Watson wanted us to share that with the people today. And that's the purpose of the game. The purpose of the game is to sort of create a space where we could all share what we know about the things that we say are important to us and make up our culture. So let me get to this caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Hello, morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Aaron.
I can hear you.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, and good morning to the listeners who wake up in the land of the living. Miss Green, let me say something to you this morning and to those who are listening. I had first-hand experience yesterday with this voting process. And Miss Green, you ever heard a saying, when something hit home to your doorstep, and then you could really see what it is?
Yeah.
Yesterday, to Gavintine's Primary School, where I voted, and the advanced poll was poor. I use that word poor, and I use extra poor service. You had old people, Ms. Green. They didn't see fit. You have classes with chairs. They didn't see fit for the vulnerable people, the elderly. You had people who came from different homes who they had to bring in wheelchairs. And yesterday morning, Ms. Green, I want to say this on your talk show. I have no confidence in the commission of the police of this country. Yes, I might be condemned, and I can tell you why I said that. Yesterday morning, ma'am, me along with a lady and another gentleman, we went to vote. So if you know how Gavintine's Primary School is set up, the commissioner of police, with the greatest respect to him, along with the deputy commissioner and another gentleman in khaki. When I passed them, Ms. Green, I didn't acknowledge one of them. I saw three of them there, so I said, morning, morning, morning. And that gentleman, who's supposed to be the one, who's supposed to be leading the armed forces in this country, refused to say good morning. Well, that's your breath. That's God's breath. And then I said on the line, PLP, PLP. So he said to me, the commissioner, Mr. Rowe, with the greatest respect, said he is the only one around here whose voice should be heard. So, Ms. Green, I said, sir, with the greatest respect to you, my mama took me in her womb for 9 months. That's when I've been shut up, right? And the rest of those police officers did not say nothing to me. Ms. Green, the level of respect for the average person in this country as being thrown out the door by some of these officials, but they want you to respect them. Ms. Green, you want me to, they want you to say yes, sir, no, sir to them, but they look at you like you don't even count, like you're a myth. But this is the last thing I want to say. Yesterday, and this is facts, a lady came there, an old lady, right, that I understood it from some of the F&Ms. They brought this lady there, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the lady there, knowing the lady wasn't in the best of health, but they bring her. The lady gone inside the polling division to vote. You know what happened next? The woman collapsed, fall out. They had to call the ambulance. And I want someone to call this radio station, no text, and tell me what I'm saying to Ms. Green and everyone who's listening this morning is not true. The old lady fall out. That's how desperate this set is, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
And Ms. Green, I hope to pray to God that next week, Thursday, that they have some kind of number system, because right now you have until Thursday, so whatever you have to tweak or you have to add on, I think that the government needs to have a, okay, if you come there 7 o'clock, you give the person number 1, right?
Yeah,
and then you have everybody, if you come there 10 o'clock, if your number is 700, then it's 700.
Yeah.
But you have to do it better, because Ms. Green, I can say this to you, and I want you to have a good weekend.
Thank you.
If they don't do it better, and watch those ballot boxes, Ms. Green, we going to have civil unrest in this country.
No, man. Don't watch
that. That's what almost happened yesterday, no. Ms. Green. It's the reality of it.
Thank you, DeWitt. You have a great day. And DeWitt, I want to say to you, be easy. You got to find one 15 minutes to sit outside barefoot, put your foot in the dirt, and sort of do a little breathing exercise and just focus on your breathing for 15 minutes. The weight of this can negatively impact you. And so while you're taking on, you know, these large concerns, you got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself as well. I wasn't there to witness anything that you witnessed. I will say this, though. It's important for those who are in charge of us to remember that justice must not just be done, it must also be seen to be done, right? And public perception is always important for people in frontline politics and governance. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
My name is Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Sparky here. I just wanted to ask one or two questions before you get ready off into the thing there, because I had first hand what they call ringside seat service yesterday in regards to the advanced poll, because first time I ever voted in one, I didn't have a chance, so my representative made sure at 7 o'clock a limo was outside the front of my car. Big time off! Just joking. But I had a driver pick me up to take me to the poll and waited and observed all the transactions and whether the people social distance, who wear masks, all the agents along the side of the street with the tents and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, then eventually they open the gates and you're allowed to go into vote and all that type of thing, went through the procedure. Now, after that, I was given the opportunity to drive around with the driver that came to pick me up, and we did a lot of runs until we got to the point where, from what I was told, supposed to happen, that's been happening for many years, that these polling boxes, before they leave the premises, they're supposed to be sealed and a signature go on them by the presiding officer and taken to, according to the Parliamentary Act, Section 67.3, was supposed to go to the Parliamentary Commissioner's Office.
Mm-hmm.
And my driver will tell you that they followed the car.
Okay, Sparky.
And from what I've been getting, everything went up to the barracks at East Street opposite your grandparents' house.
All right, Sparky, but pause right there. Let's not say anything that could be used by anybody in any post-election litigation. Right? Let's be very careful. It's one thing to observe what you see happening, especially if you feel like something untoward is likely to happen. But it's another thing to ensure that you treat the information or what you have observed in a way that preserves it and keeps it safe in case you are called upon to use it, or you feel compelled to use it at a future time, right? And like it gets difficult, but these are the responsibilities that we have as citizens in every step to ensure whether we're saying something because it absolutely has to be said, or if this is an instance where it may be safer or more prudent to preserve it just for a moment. So let me get to this next caller, and I'm going to read some text, and we can push forward in the show. Caller, you're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I've used my pulse oximeter. My oxygen level is 96.
Good.
My pulse rate is 84, so I'm good to go today.
Good,
now,
good.
Now, have anybody seen the Fuhrer? Oh, he's in his bunker.
I don't know who that is, man. Let's not refer to, let's not use that type of language.
Our CEO. Anybody seen the CEO of the country yesterday?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. He would be on the ground checking. This is his war. He started the war. He's hiding.
No, man, let's change that language. And let's change. But let me tell you why. Because we need to shift the political culture. That's why. First of all, it ain't his. It's ours. It ain't his. It's ours. Right? It's our election. It's incumbent upon us, right? Pun intended. It's important for us to create the mechanisms necessary to preserve our election. If the government, like, we should only for one moment sit and ask the question, has the government made provisions for international observers? We should already have an agency, a non-governmental agency, that ensures that when they are needed, they can be provided, whether the government is on board or not, right? We, the people, really have to start taking responsibility for the things that we say are ours. Otherwise, then the election does belong to the politicians. And we're just participants in this little plantation politics, right? We don't have any real agency, any real say. It's the prime minister's mandate. It's when he decides when we're going to have the election. It's how he decides we're going to have elections. And we just do whatever it is that the person that we pay to rule us says we must do. I've got a text here that says, everyone play in politics. It's sad when issues, especially during this time, are insurmountable. We do not know that the misery, we do know that the misery index is extremely high for a variety of reasons. Dorian, ongoing pandemic, etc. Not just perceived government inefficiency. And I fear that the populist decision making may be clouded as a result of the misery index. And so it's just easier to blame someone. And unfortunately, the government is the easiest target. So every issue is blown out of proportion and nothing will ever be sufficient. Case in point, just the other day, a talk show host pushed the right for quarantined persons to vote. Once the government approved that same talk show host reported, shocker, quarantined persons are being allowed to vote. It's too much double talking and confusing the public. We must be responsible. Well, I don't know about the double talking. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying here, especially the need for citizens to understand the collective and individual responsibilities and obligations we have in the system of governance, A, but B, if we want to actually do the things we say we should be doing, which is have a greater degree of participation and control in governance and policy making. We want to center the citizen in governance. I have another text here that says, the handling of the polls is not a matter to be laid at the PM's feet. Civil servants are paid to execute a job. If they are not competent in doing so, changes ought to be made. Poor planning and execution cannot be laid at the politician's doorstep. The blame to be assigned is the hiring of their boys who may be unqualified to perform a certain function. Clearly, when this happens, the public is affected immensely. A secondary element to what I was saying earlier is it not only is it incumbent on the citizen, right? But, well, not only is it not the politician's thing, there are procedures in place for the handling and the operation of elections. These things should have been considered. And at the moment that the prime minister called a snap election or indicated to the people in response to the parliamentary registrar's office that that's what he's intending to do, somebody should have jumped up and said, "Dear sir, there is no way that we can get this up to the standard required to fulfill all of our obligations to the voter and to the citizen. Like, there is absolutely no way." You should have said to him, "King man, you can't see we couldn't even find new voters' cards? You can't see we had to... You can't see we had to scorch out the people information on the old voter's card? We do not have the capacity to do it. We should have the capacity to do it. We knew that we were less than a year away from election anyway. We should have been prepared, but we weren't. And that is what you have to acknowledge before you call a snap election." Another text. "Good morning. I was at the advance poll yesterday. Organized chaos. I even took the time to assist elderly persons. Callers, call back, please." Another text here. "Two straight FNM, FNM. Another text. "Great show as usual, Ms. Green. Who take Papa name off the register?" Another text. "Miss Green, how come you ain't tell us how the DNA general jumped ship and joined the PLP? Also, Miss Green, question, lemonade or limeade?" Boy, that's my favorite question, lemonade or limeade. But I got a caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you? And I apologize if I lost you earlier.
Yeah, I always listen to you and appreciate your sense of humor and your critical thinking, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, I was kind of feeling what David was saying, but Commissioner of the Police is correct as far as the noise and being heard and obnoxious activities at the polls, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's incorrect in saying his voice should be the only one that should be heard. And so I don't know if you ever heard me mention Operation Lockstep scenario narrative,
mm-hmm,
about a tighter total global government control and totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And most people seem to be oblivious of this global paradigm. I'm so sick. I'm really afraid. And so for him to have that kind of attitude, we must remember that we all have to face the king, you know. And so I never used to like the New Testament as much as the Old Testament. But I'm starting to fall in love with the New Testament because there's a section in Corinthians that speaks about a day when they will deliver up the kingdom to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he will get rid of all power and all authority. I'm longing to see that day because I'm sick of sharing this global paradise with sheep. And it's getting to me because of the knowledge in my brain. It's nothing to do with me in personal vendettas. People in public life should expect criticism. Even some of your talk show hosts, they don't like criticism. Like, they hate 52, right? Because he speaks reality. And so, you know, the thing is, as a text-to-text, it made a lot of sense about the reason, the dilemmas that face the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
A financial crisis, a social crisis, economic, but financial is the same, right? Health crisis. It's a multiplicity of crisis, social also, that we'll be facing a deterioration in the country. And we're sitting and lionizing these politicians whilst the country is in an equilibrium, in an inertia, not going anywhere, right?
Right.
And so we must remember that corruption, obfuscation, disinformation, subterfuge. So some of these politicians have actually studied the ideals of Machiavelli because the ends justify the means or whatever, right? But this is becoming frightening for me, and we're not going to get anywhere because one question I like to ask them. You know, I highlighted how much Pakistan, but I put trust in the Lord on the global plantation, right?
Yeah.
And so the question is, who gives the right to do the wrong? Have a good day, Ms. Green.
All right. Oh, wait, look here. Thank you, 52. What a question. Who gives the right to do the wrong? To my other call, I come to you right now. I don't think young people are leaving because of the crisis, you know. Young people are leaving because the older people refuse to even acknowledge young people's perspective on what the crisis is, how it impacts the larger society. They don't even want you to participate in the solution making. That's why young people leave it, not because crisis exists, not because it's a heap of it, but because there's no space for them in the process of solving the problems in their own lives. Anyway, caller, you are on the clock. If you there, yeah, caller, I got you.
Hello, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
I'm going to pause or you cut me off.
Pardon?
I'll ask you to pause or you
I can barely hear you. You it coming in waves. No pun intended. You're gone again. What I did say, though, Sparky, was let's be very careful, right, about any conversation about the ballot boxes, right? My rule as a new radio show host is that I wait to see if what I'm thinking about talking about is confirmed in the paper. I wait to hear people who have more expertise. Also, sometimes I just wait to get a few more perspectives to help shape the direction I want to take the conversation in. But I was suggesting that we be very careful when we talk about what we witness at the booth, at the polling stations, vis-a-vis or in reference to ballot boxes and the state and condition of ballot boxes and where they were taken, because I have a feeling that that's going to be, it's potentially going to be a big issue. I see I got another caller on the clock. Caller, good morning. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you do?
I have to, command of your station for your balance over the years. And it just shows where, you're going to have a long life in journalism for all your journalists on your station.
Yes, ma'am.
I have to explain my experience with the advance poll last election.
Mm-hmm.
My very first advance poll, I had to travel for a family member graduation. And as you know, graduations happen in May
mm-hmm.
in the United States. So I stood in the hot sun from about 9 o'clock that morning, and I'm certain I didn't move until near the door, to the actual door at the Kendall Isaac Gym.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was one location for the advance polls. I stood there with armed forces and people I never would have stood with because I'm not a part of, the body. And I got to the door, and I literally had to push my way into the door like a bad school child.
Wow.
To vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if some Bahamians are forgetting or some journalists are forgetting when they say this never been this bad. The parliamentary secretary has always been bad. So I want our people to really be honest about things. We're not making excuses that it doesn't need to get better.
Right.
But let's be honest, and this is a fact. I challenge anybody to tell me that I did not stand in the hot sun, along with police officers, could tell you from 3 p.m. that afternoon, last election in May of 2017. So, I'm like, gosh, did people forget already?
Yeah. Well,
it was ridiculous.
You know, it's two important questions I have for politicians. How you can cause people to discipline themselves and how you can sustain a conversation longer than one news cycle, longer than 1 week.
So, get it together, parliamentary secretary. But come on, Bahamans, let's ask as if, let's tell the truth in all ways.
Okay, awesome.
Let's sit here and pretend that the parliamentary secretary has been, where you put me.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so it turns out that maybe I may have been far too harsh in my critique, right, of this year's advance poll. But it leads to another question, right? If we knew what happened last election.
If you'd like to make a call.
If we were aware of the limited capacity of the state to perform this service, and the added elements, right, for 2021, or what would have been the 2022 election, still in the midst of a pandemic, but now becoming 2021 election with a snap election, to what extent should and can civil society and non-governmental organizations like Rotary, like fraternities and sororities, to what extent can they assist the government in ensuring a safer, more effective, more efficient voting process? I see I got another caller on the clock. Caller, you're on.
Yes, sir. Good morning to all.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm all right. You know, not pertaining to you, obviously, right? But Miss, too many people in mainstream media, right, that when you disagree with their narrative or their view, you know, they don't want to debate. They cut you off, you know, and that's sad, you know. And you know, my issue, right, with civil Bahamas, right, is that they're only interested in their interest. You see,
yeah.
we have, and what we do is we tend to distract away from the principal issues and bring up, numerous micro issues, issues that, and they look at this thing, this voting thing and the issue yesterday. How does that does not affect, you know, the outcome of the election, who wins, just like the voters who won't be able to vote because they're quarantined, it's not going to affect it, you know. But we don't want to discuss the issues, the things like healthcare. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Healthcare. These are things that should be discussed every day in the media. You know, the insurance, not NHI insurance. Come on. Come on. Where's the taxation for that?
Listen, I need to have 18 conversations in a row about predial larceny, which is agricultural theft, right?
Right.
And the massive impact, negative impact it is having on the country. There's so many things.
We got major issues that these people won't address. The housing, the wages of these people. They like to talk about, my civil rights. What about the human rights?
Well, listen, let's I got a couple of callers on the line and a bunch of texts, but I appreciate.
You know, when they refuse to do the livable wage, they violate the people's human rights to food and shelter all at once.
I understand.
That's sad, man.
I understand, but what you're going to find is that in the civil society space, not all organizations are human rights organizations, or are they human rights based, right? And so they are exactly how they are defined, special interest groups with a focus on their special interests. Like you said, what we need are organizations that, even if they're not human rights organizations, they are established or rooted in a human rights approach or in human rights principles, where we're not focused on one particular issue or interest group, but on the environment necessary to ensure equity and equality for all interests, right? Which is a slightly different thing. And what you're thinking about is a social justice perspective on policy creation, right? Where people who talk about policy talk about it in a more holistic way. Let me get to this caller, and then we're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to get through all of these texts. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right, thank God for life as usual. I hope I'm behind the eight ball, right? But I hear someone was saying that when people on vote, how we should go home. I agree with that. I don't think we should be hanging up out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should be hanging up out there after we done vote.
Absolutely.
I understand yesterday it was hectic here by the City Kids Primary School where we got a vote. I don't know if they're leaving it the same way where they have Seabreeze, Nassau Village, and a different constituency all to be voting at the same place. I was thinking maybe this enough time for them if we could let them know that maybe they could do it how they normally used to do it, or find some bigger space place where they could do it, because we don't already know this could be a super COVID spreader event. We don't have to make it worse. But Aaron, tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
This the weekend when all of the how do you say it, shameless, or the set who have shame would pack up their things, their photos, their family photos and all of them out of those government offices on this same particular weekend before a general election, right?
Well, but this is the last weekend to do it.
Yeah, if they get any shame.
Well,
keep up the good work. Have a nice weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, some politicians operate in a different political culture than the rest of us. Some of us should feel shame for being alive merely. And some of us are politicians. Kermit, well, let's see, we got another caller on the line. We try to take this caller dead quick. And then go to the clock. Let me read another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Why so many people are congregating after they have voted? We are in a pandemic environment. Make space for those persons coming after you. Not just that, remember, this is the advance poll. And these people are voting in the advance poll for a particular reason. Because they serve a special function in the country, or they're in a vulnerable grouping. So if you're not there to vote, and you're not one of the five campaigners that are allowed to be with a candidate, then what you doing there outside of increasing the risk for the most vulnerable among us? And that's the reason why you should leave as soon as you finish voting or you finish doing what you came there to do. That's our music. We're going to go to a break, and then we will be right back. So stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. It's Friday, the 10th of September, 2021. We're 6 days till election and you are tuned in to 96.9 FM. So just before I get into get to you, caller, I just wanted to say this. Like I said, yesterday is a no politics day, and so I wanted to give the audience and the callers back some time to engage because this snap election has sort of taken that away from us. Even the time to engage in informal spaces, right? Because we don't expect to be able to engage with politicians and party leaders and policymakers in the way that we as citizens should be able to before an election. But at the same time, you know, I have a lot to say, and I want you all to know that I'm trying to hold it back because I really want you guys to get an opportunity to engage. And so let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. Slight delay? I'm sorry we lost you. Caller, let me get to these texts. And text here says, do you mean that a person has to tell you as a citizen to social distance? If you as a citizen see there is a gathering, knowing that a pandemic is raging, isn't it common sense? We as a Bahamian people need to stop being irresponsible and help out, not just themselves, but the country. Just stop. If there were crowds and crowding at the polls yesterday, we as people should be adults and social distance. Does someone have to tell you this, knowing that the pandemic is raging? This should have happened whether the authorities were effective in organizing or not. This spirit of personal irresponsibility is pervading our country, and it's sad. We must understand that we are going through unprecedented events. Let's help each other. Okay, you're right. The spirit of personal irresponsibility, the lack of personal discipline and control is really hurting us. But let's apply it evenly, and let's go through some things. You see, when people behave recklessly and irresponsibly in traffic, in the road, like when people drive with their cell phone in their hands, they are endangering other people's lives, right? And so while the onus is on that individual who refuses to drive and pay due care and attention to the road, right, while the onus is on that person to moderate their behavior, and engage the world like a sensible human being, the government also has an obligation to enforce the traffic laws to ensure that ordinary and other drivers are not being terrorized by lawless and reckless people who refuse to follow the most basic of rules and laws. I want to say good morning to that young man who pulled out of Mackey Street onto Shirley Street, turning right on red this morning in his big white truck. I'll refrain from calling your license plate number. See, it's the same sort of thing. So while we can only rely on the individual to moderate their own behavior outside of putting them in jail and restricting their freedom of movement, we also must be able to rely on the authorities to enforce the laws put in place that guide the social contract to ensure that other people aren't terrorized by the actions of the reckless. And I think the same thing sort of applies in this situation. Yes, only the individual can moderate themselves and catch sense. And I'm talking to a lot of the people I buck in the food store who, as they're about to breathe down your neck or as they're touching you, as they push past you in an aisle, who cut their eye at you because you dare to look at them as if to say, well, good morning, my love. We obviously didn't see each other as we got out of bed this morning. How are you? But I also expect the staff in the store and the police who were responsible, the COVID police who are responsible for enforcing protocols, I expect them to do their job and protect me from people who refuse to respect me and my right to 6 feet and that space, right? See, and I expect them to do that because if I do what y'all say a Baintown woman or a Fox Hill gal supposed to do, I could be in the punch. I can be at Central. I'm going to be ridiculed for not keeping my cool and not behaving like the decent Christian human I'm supposed to be. So yes, it is about personal responsibility. But the state and we as stakeholders in our society have an obligation to other citizens to ensure that they're not being terrorized by the reckless among us. And these boys, I'm getting paid to do it anyway. Another text, good morning. 52 is clearly a great reader and has some good knowledge. He is, however, too much about 52. I would love for him to step from in front of himself and contribute for the sake of edification as opposed to highlighting what he knows with such great emotions. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. Be easy on 52. Second of all, while, you know, we like to teach the Toastmasters rules of persuasion, you know, at this point, what the social justice warriors say, I don't owe you any emotional labor. I don't owe you any, I don't owe you comfort while I share what I feel has been given to me to share with the world. And sometimes it's really the illusion of persuasion. And let me tell you, as a gay rights advocate, I know that. Sometimes you can't eat your feelings for people. Another text, Aaron, let the caller know the issue wasn't the time on the line. It was the disorganization at the polls yesterday. Previously, the process was more effective, not efficient. This time, it was both poorly planned and, of course, executed. We also increased the amount of allowed voters in this poll with a permanent register. I will note that I remember the caller saying that she, at one point, had to push her way through a door, which suggests a sort of disorganization that she referenced. Another text, the lines will obviously be long this election because the private schools will not have people voting. They are only the government schools. But I thought everybody is virtual learning. Why wouldn't the private schools have people voting there? Or are teachers teaching from schools in the private school system? Another text, morning, Aaron, yesterday I lost trust in the FNM. Shame on them. DeWitt was right. How they did the old people. I will say that it's not even disgusted in the word, you know. I am startled. I'm concerned. I'm concerned by the lack of empathy involved at every stage. It's an advanced poll. It's for the vulnerable. And then for those people who are so valuable to your society, they got to vote early. Mr. Kermit, is that a caller on the line? That's a caller we're going to try and get you. Hey, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. Hi, you want to turn down your radio for me, please? Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Hi.
Enjoying the conversation this morning, Aaron. There are a couple of key factors here we have to take into consideration. First and foremost, you know, with the electoral process that we have here in the Bahamas, just as with every other jurisdiction, you will find that as you go along, you're supposed to improve in the performance of the process. And it's sad to see that in some cases we're still dropping the ball when we should be at least improving and continuously improving on the process to make the process a whole lot easier. So that's something that we have to look at again. Secondly, I would have thought that even with the exchange of the change of the parliamentary commissioner, for instance, that the one who supersedes that person would have been in training or have been in training under that person. So when that person demits office, the next person that takes over will continue the positive trend that the previous person of that office would have held.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think we also need to look at. Thirdly, as far as citizenry is concerned, we also have a responsibility in this whole process because there's a whole lot of us who are not disciplined. You know, if you've been voting for quite a while, you know what is expected of you when you get to the polling divisions and the stations. And, you know, you are expected to follow the protocols that are the usual protocols that was put in place. And so, you know, there is a collective responsibility, but there's also an individual responsibility. And you can't just blame or point fingers at the government and blame fingers at the persons at the polling stations, but we also have to point fingers at ourselves because we are the ones who are also a part of the process.
Yeah.
So these things we have to take in consideration. My last point of contribution here, Aaron, is this. You know, we are so accustomed, and it's sad to say this, but we are so accustomed to mediocrity that when you try to put strict protocols in place to follow, you're going to find that people will complain. That is something that we also have to get over. In order for this promise to improve to the level that we want it to improve, changes will have to be made, even if you don't like the changes. But
absolutely.
They must be made. That's the only thing constant in life, change.
Absolutely. And that's the sign of maturity, is that you prepared to take the hard knock, you prepared to do the hard work for the sake of the system and the whole. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm going to read a couple more texts, and then I'm going to close out the show. Text says, my exit poll yesterday, the people don't vote, ..
If you'd like.
Another text, Aaron, maybe the former parliamentary register general told ministers, no, that's why we have a temporary register general, who him said, yes, he could do it. Man, let's keep, let's pretend we didn't hear that. Aaron, do you think Minnis voted yesterday because no one saw him yesterday? Aaron, you think Papa voted for Minnis? I think Papa told Minnis he was going to vote for him. And Minnis is like, nope, you ain't going to vote today. Now, the text 52 needs to take some bush medicine because he's always sick of something with COVID police present at the polls. Listen, first of all, do you see the plantation through the palm trees? Anyway, there is some grand and appropriate Christian text I could slip in there, quote I could slip in there right there about, you know, never resting until the unrighteous deeds done to others is dealt with. Something like that. And says, lastly, the theme song for this election is D-Max Diggin'. Okay, see, I like that part of the text, Texter. I like that part of the text. Another text, you better get what you want from your MP now, because after election, they will disappear for 5 years. And by get what you want, I think the texter means sincere, authentic, honest answers to questions that have been carefully scripted by an informed and conscientious electorate. That's what you mean, right? Because we shift in that political culture. We shift in that political culture entirely. We're going to tell the politicians what we expect from them and what we want from them. Kermit, is that another call on the line? Yeah? Caller, you on the clock?
Yes, Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, Aaron, it's been for some time now that as a country, it's been 48 years.
Yeah.
You know, we have been doing what we've been doing for that length of time. It's our country, and I'm sure everybody loves themselves. You know, some of us, we do what we do. You know, but what I'm trying to say is that yesterday was despicable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what you do to your old people, you don't think those young people was thinking about that, and you're gonna tell those young people that you're looking out for their future after you do Grammy like that,
mm-hmm.
after you do Mummy like that. Okay, Marvin Ames, the Honorable Marvin Ames has been around for a while. Okay, his constituency alone. Okay, it was horrible for those older people. Okay, I didn't come on this radio to complain, but then I have to. Okay, we've got six days to fix this for a general election. I'm not going to use the word snap, because the prime minister had planned to do exactly what he wanted to do. The date mightn't have been arranged,
yeah.
But he called the election. You, when you do something, it should be planned. You're the professional, okay? And furthermore, we are paying you. You're
yes,
getting
sir.
A whole salary.
Absolutely.
You know? So I don't deserve the excuse that you're giving me. And then the people that are in quarantine, on that day, you decide, well, that's the day I'm going to let them vote.
Boy, listen, sir, thank you very much. It's a shame that we were right out of time as you were giving your contribution. Such important points that you made. I'm going to pick up back up on them on Monday again. I'd like to thank the callers and the texters for joining the conversation today. Like I said, I wanted to do less framing with my own opinion and this show. I want to say pay attention to the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture press release about the Show Me Music program, where a whole slew of Bahamian performers are lined up to share their talents with the world. I can talk more about that on Monday. Thank you to my producer, Kermit. It is 11 a.m., which means it is time for Levon Miller and Unleash. So stay tuned to 96.9 FM. Have a great weekend and stay safe, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.